How often do you wish you had just the right tool for the right job or knew the right website to visit to find the info you need? Kevin Kelly has compiled and reviewed more than 1,500 tools, loosely defined, in one place. It's called Cool Tools, a Catalog of Possibilities. Kevin Kelly, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, it's my privilege.
Well, you founded, co-founded Wired Magazine. You're the editor and publisher of the Cool Tools website. You get a ton of traffic. What made you to decide to tackle this real printed on paper catalog?
Well, you know, for many, many years, we've been collecting these cool tool recommendations from users on the website, and they were becoming a little bit overwhelming. And it turns out that paper is actually very highly evolved to navigate you through lots of different choices. And when we published this and printed this on 500 pages of oversized paper, something magical happened. In while you're going through all this stuff, your brain is able to navigate through these things much better than you can on the web.
Cutting-edge technology, the catalog, I love it. Well, you've really stretched the idea of tool. If I think tool, an image of a wrench pops in my head, and you have that kind of hardware store stuff in there, but what makes the cut? What counts as a cool tool in your mind?
Broadly defined, a tool is anything that's handy. So, you know, of course, a phone app can be a tool as well as, you know, a wrench, but so can the proper chart on your wall that allows you to understand how history works. Or it can be a DVD that's a how-to explaining a way to make puppets using clay. Any kind of thing that's useful is a tool in my book.
And that's the tool part. What's the cool part?
Cool means that either it's not well known or is just superior to anything else like it, or else there's nothing else like it, or else it's just the cheapest that's available, or else it's the best. So there's a sense in which these things are distinctive in the sense that they're cheaper, better, or just more different than anything else out there.
And how do you make the decision when you're shopping for a tool of whatever sort that this is the time to buy the cheap one, and this is the time to buy the best one, even if it costs a little more?
That's a really great question, because there are so many choices out there, and you're sometimes overwhelmed with the variety and the quality. Generally, what I advocate is something I call the highest common denominator, which is not the cheapest possible tool, nor the most expensive, but the highest quality in the middle that will get you to some standard that you know, you can use the tools for a while and then go on to something better if you use it a lot. But even before that, I recommend that people rent tools. There are a lot of places to rent tools, or else you can subscribe to tools increasingly in the cities with an outfit called Tech Shop, where it's like a gym. You have your membership, and that allows you to use any of the latest and greatest tools that they have, and they have one of everything.
And that's things like makerspaces and hackerspaces too, right?
Exactly. They'll have laser cutters and 3D printers, as well as, you know, your favorite skill saw. They'll have quilt makers and plasma jets, and you'll basically have the best workshop in the world. You don't need to keep it up. You don't need to repair anything. They'll do all that for you. And I think sometimes that's even better than buying a tool yourself.
One of my only trip to a hackerspace, one of our neighbors had a gingerbread house making event, but they cut the gingerbread with a laser cutter that he'd programmed the patterns in. It was pretty cool, though the smell of charred gingerbread took a long time to leave my clothes and hair.
But actually right now, the really cool thing in sewing is now cutting patterns and cloth using laser cutters. And I'd have to tell you that this is really going to transform sewing, because now you can get patterns customized to your body and just have it cut on a laser cutter really fast.
Cool. Well, I want to give people a sense of the range of tools you include. We wouldn't get to all of them if we were on the air for two more hours, but let's take a look at the category of orality. Things related to hearing is a good place to start for radio. You've got everything from a sturdy music stand to how to make do-it-yourself instruments. Can you tell us a couple of your favorites from that category?
Well, a route is anything that we can listen to. So it ranges from, you know, how to stream radio stations on your computer to even things like satellite phones. We all know cell phones, but if you're out in the middle of an expedition somewhere in the Sahara...
As I often am.
Yes, of course. You want to be able to connect, and you can actually rent satellite phones for a week. And that's a great tool to know, so you can phone home. There are things like synthetic pianos, which are emulated on a laptop or on a machine, and they've been around for a long time, but these are now modeling the physics of the piano. They're just not sampled sounds. They're actually recreating the way that the strings inside move and vibrate, and you can even dial in like you want, whether you want a piano that's been played, you know, for like 100 years and it has that kind of a sound, or whether you want a broken piano. And so that kind of a synthetic piano, which was reviewed by a guy who made Myst computer game and did the soundtrack, that's a great tool to know about.
How about, do you have any favorites in the world of what we might think of tools that we use in a workshop or around the house? Do you have a couple favorites that you reviewed in the book?
Yeah, I tend to recommend things that are not electronic, not these kind of fancy things that are going to go obsolete. And a great example of that would be the Hokey carpet sweeper, which has been around for, I don't know, at least 5 decades. And this is a non-electric push carpet sweeper that all the restaurants use because it's quiet and it has no batteries and it always works. And it works very well. And you just push this thing really fast and it cleans your carpet and you put it away. So it's faster than a dust buster. It's quieter than any vacuum. It's been around forever. It really works. And it's a great old tool.
So newer isn't always better.
No, not at all. And a lot of these things, they have the same design, and they can keep increasing the quality of the parts and tweaking. And so you'll have things like another example of a tool that most people don't know, even though even these old geezers in the garage probably don't know about this one. It's called the grip hoist, and it was invented in Scandinavia, and it's like a come along, kind of like a winch that you use to draw things to you. But as you might know from a come-along, there's kind of a ratcheting gear that moves it along and prevents it from snapping back. But this grip hoist actually kind of has a kind of a hand-over-hand action inside, and so you can actually move several tons of weight with a millimeter precision because it's completely continuous. There's no ratcheting involved. And that's the kind of a tool that I think should be well better known.
And where do you see that in action? Is this something that a particular profession has embraced, or is it just a tool that time hasn't come yet?
Well, actually, it's used a lot in window washers who are raising themselves up windows in a kind of a scaffold. It's pulled up, so they're hoisting themselves up a scaffolding. And they're doing it with great precision, with their own human power, and great safety. And that's one example where you see this used. Another example would be for erecting, say, a wind tower or solar panels or something heavy, where you want to move something really heavy, and you want to move it accurately and without auxiliary power.
We're talking to Kevin Kelly about his new book covering grip hoists and 1,000 and even more, hundreds of other tools. The book is Cool Tools, A Catalog of Possibilities.
And we would love to hear from you. What is the coolest tool that you use regularly? Or is there a tool that you wish you could find but you haven't been able to locate it yet? Well, Kevin Kelly might just have an idea for you. Or perhaps you've invented a tool that ought to be in this book. Give us a call at 800-642-1234.
We continue our conversation now with Kevin Kelly. His new book is Cool Tools, A Catalog of Possibilities. It reviews and recommends hundreds and hundreds of different tools, broadly defined, something you might find in a hardware store, something you might find on your smartphone, books, CDs, a whole bunch of other stuff. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Is there a tool that does the job so perfectly you couldn't live without it? Tell us about it. Or is there a gap? Is there a tool you wish existed but you don't know about it? Call us at 800-642-1234 or send us an email, talk@WPR.org. We'll go to the phones now. We have Sam on the line in Milwaukee. Sam, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
Really good. What's your question?
I am an arborist, so I'm wondering if he has any recommendations in the realm of chainsaws. I'm very familiar with chainsaws. Just wondering if there's anything better out there or in the realm of ascending a rope. I'm frequently climbing up a rope to get into a tree. Just wondering if there's any new interesting tools to use for that.
All right. Thanks for the call, Sam. Any suggestions, Kevin?
Since he sounds like a professional, I don't think I could tell him anything he doesn't know, but we still recommend some of the skill saws, which are old standbys. But there is something that most people who use a chainsaw in their backyard don't know about, which is they really should be wearing a face mask, and the kind of a face mask that has a little bit of a screen guard on it. That's just for safety reasons, and we recommend that people use that while they're chainsawing, not just their goggles, but actually a face mask that will protect their face from a kickback.
I was going to say I've used goggles and some pretty flimsy ones at that, that I've like, this really isn't going to help me much, probably.
No. But the face mask and helmet with earmuffs will actually protect your face in case. And there are safety guards on the newest chainsaws, but you really have only one face you want to protect.
Fair enough. Well, good luck, Sam. And we'll go now to Jeff in Antioch, Illinois. Jeff, hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. What's your question or recommendation for us?
Well, you asked about inventors. I invented a tool. I took out a patent on it. In my opinion, it's pretty darn cool. It's something that'll attach to a hand level. You can take a two-footer and turn it into a four-footer. It's got a telescoping, rod that comes out, and you can stop it anywhere between that two-foot and four-foot, which if you're, you know, hanging some shelves tight between two walls or something, it can be a real handy tool.
That sounds great, Jeff. Kevin, what do you think of that? And also, I assume you like that kind of do-it-yourself, make-up-the-tool-you-need instinct there.
Absolutely. We're very much in the mode of recommending that people make as many of the tools as they need, particularly to solve a problem that there's no tool for right now. His idea sounds great. We do recommend other kinds of tools for leveling and hanging pictures, and including one that you can actually move some sliders in between to get 2 points on a picture hung level, which is actually trickier than it sounds.
Yes, it is.
It is. And so he should send us a note about his tool, and maybe it will become a cool tool in the future.
All right. What's the Cool Tools website? Is it cooltools.com? I don't have that right in front of me.
Yeah, it's cool-tools.org.
.org. Okay, Jeff, you can check them out there and maybe share your level invention there. Thanks a lot for your call. I wanted to get into some of the social tools you have. You've got a whole category of that, things like street smarts, practical politics, and I want to hear about this one, Hive Mind, trying to tap into the power not of the internet, but of the people who use the internet to get answers you need.
Yeah. So one of the tools that I actually recommend is very useful if you're trying to make things happen is a site, but it's more like an institution called Meetup. And this makes it very easy for you to gather like-minded people about whatever it is that you are interested in, whether it's a hobby or a cause or some kind of an interest. And this system, which you use online, can manage the invites, it can manage who's showing up, it can manage whether you want to direct people or charge people for coming. And it's very, very useful, and I've used it several times for the kinds of things that I've been interested in starting. So you go to Meetup, and then here is a tool that will make it easier for you to gather people
around a particular interest. That's very powerful.
And it could be a product, or it could be a cause, I imagine, or
yes,
I guess the sky's the limit, right?
Yeah, so there's people who have meetups based around the fact that they like a certain kind of dog breed, and they want to get together with other people. So you're meeting face-to-face. This is all to enable face-to-face meeting. It's not about online meetings. It's about organizing something in your local area. Or you may have enthusiasm for a particular kind of book, or you may have maybe it is a cause where you're trying to save a particular wilderness area or something. All these doesn't really matter. It's agnostic about what the interest is. It just enables you to very easily find and gather and coordinate people to meet, and then you can kind of rate it afterwards. People rate it afterwards, and those meetings that were successful, next time they have an invitation, you can see, well, last time, was it fun for people? Were they informed? Did it work? Was the host, including everybody? All these kinds of things.
Go back to our callers now. We have Doug in Mount Horeb. Doug, hi, you're on the air.
I recommend the Yankee Drill. It's been around for 100 years or more. They stopped production in the United States. It's made in Germany. Now it's carried back in the U.S. again by Garrett Wade. It doesn't have a power cord. It doesn't have a battery pack. You operate it with one hand. It carries its own bits. It's just a great little carpenter's tool. You can slip it into your pocket when you're walking around. You push on it, and it cuts in. It drills in one direction. When you take the pressure off your hand, it reverses and cuts in the other direction. And it's self-lubricating, self-guiding, and it's just a great little tool. You can even slip it inside your shirt pocket.
Doug, thanks. The Yankee push drill, and I'm glad. I was worried there if it was the Yankee drill was just made in Germany. Now it sounds like it's back to the United States. Is that one you're familiar with, Kevin?
Absolutely. Everything he says is absolutely 100% true, and it is exactly why it's included in our catalog of cool tools, because it's an analog version, and then oftentimes for 80% of your drilling household needs, you can use a drill like this. And you can hand it down to the next generation, your children and grandchildren as well.
All right. Thanks, Doug. And we've got Keith in Appleton now. Hi, Keith.
Hi. I'd like to throw my 2 cents worth in. The Craig jig I found to be absolutely awesome. It does so much, and if anyone's familiar with them, it makes cabinets. It puts wood together in a straight board to make a door. It's a great little tool.
A Craig jig. How do you spell Craig in this instance?
K-R-E-G.
All right.
Craig.
Thanks, Keith. The Craig jig, Kevin.
I'm not sure I'm familiar with the Craig jig. We do have a number of jigs that other people have recommended for cabinet making, like chores where you're trying to make a drawer or line something up. And I should emphasize that this catalog was written by the readers. So it's not something that I have written all the reviews of. They're enthusiasts who have a passion for something like the caller, and they have submitted and recommended this tools, and so I'm not familiar with it, but doesn't mean it's not really great. And you can look on our website, which is out there, to see if Craig is listed. But there are other jigs like that for drilling holes, blind holes, etc. And I should probably check out this one and see if it's worthy of cool tools.
Kevin, in our last minute or so, is there something that's maybe new to you, maybe even since the publication of Cool Tools, the catalog, that you're going nuts for and is changing your life?
Well, there was something actually during the Christmas season that was a really great tool. It was a website called Retail Me Not, and it was kind of a user-credentialed site that would tell you about whether there was a discount coupon if you're going to buy something online. And they were actually vetted by the user, so it would not only tell you whether it was there, but what percent chance you had that it would actually work. And it's a site that I now go to first whenever I'm going to buy something online outside of Amazon, because generally I would say 90% of the time there is a discounted coupon that you can actually use to save shipping or whatever.
But that gets you away from the ones that kind of just get you in the door,
yeah,
but don't really do anything.
Right. Right. These are, there's no mess, no fuss, none of this kind of scamming stuff. It's actually, used and vetted and reviewed by other people, so you know what's going to happen.
Well, Kevin, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us, and I hope you'll come back again and share some more tools with us in the future.
I would love to, and I just would encourage everybody not to buy tools. This is a tool that will show you what is out there. You don't have to buy everything, but you should know that they exist.
That's Kevin Kelly. He's Senior Maverick at Wired Magazine. His new book, Cool Tools, A Catalog of Possibilities.